Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Manipro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. Manipro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Wednesday, Hump Day, May 4th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button there at our homepage at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That will get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about our passion of backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming, urban gardening, anything else that might tickle your fancy. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Manipro.
Manipro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that Manipro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. Manipro, nurturing life.
If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try Manipro's Oyster Shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try Manipro's Oyster Shell for your pullets and layers.
Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
If you're looking for a unique gift idea for that dog, cat, horse, or chicken lover, then look no further than HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a wide selection of gifts for both the home and farm. My favorite is the chicken noodle soup with noodles shaped like chickens. I'm sure you'll find everything you're looking for at HobbyHillFarm.com. That's HobbyHillFarm.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We have a great show lined up for you today. In fact, we have really great shows lined up all week, every week. But the highlight, I know, of your day, as it is of mine, it is now time to welcome my wonderful co-host, young lady, Pat Foreman. Hey, Pat!
Oh, whisper, I love it when you talk like that. you know, wouldn't it be wonderful to make someone's day so easily as that? Just thought and a chuckle, that's all you need.
The highlight of everybody's day, including mine, is bringing Pat live on the radio. How about that?
Oh, you're so sweet. Oh, my goodness. Hey, guess today, you know what I've been doing, Whisper? I start my days out pretty cool. I've got these little baby chicks that have just hatched out 10 days ago. Only 10 days ago. So what I do in the mornings, this is how much of a chicken geek I am, but I'll take a cup of tea. It's no caffeine, just a cup of tea, and go out to where they're in this little mini barn, and I just sit and watch them. And I watch, and they do their thing. So here they are, 10 days. And this morning, they hopped up on about an 8-inch perch, an 8-inch board that's there on the floor, and they were all sitting there in a row. And the mother went up and hopped up on this about 8 inches off the ground. And I'll be darned if a couple of them didn't get underneath her, and she cuddled down, put her little breast feathers over them, so their little heads were just sticking out. And then one of them hopped up on her back. I usually have my camera with me, but I didn't this morning. But isn't that amazing that at only 8 days old, they're able to hop up that high, and one of them even then did another leap up on her back, and they were all just so pleased with themselves. They were just absolutely so that was one of my magic moments today, was just seeing how adorable they are and how much they've developed in such a short time. They've got little tail feather stubs, and their wings are doing pretty good. They're starting to flap up and hop around, so such is the miracle of life. Yeah,
absolutely.
How's your day going?
I love it to see that happen. When we had Broody Mama, she was, I guess, advocate of that, and we put some eggs underneath her, and sure enough, we walk outside, and we're like, what in the world? And there's the little chickie right on top of her back walking around. So, yeah, that is a sight to see. And then along with all the communication that goes along with that, equally as awesome. Equally as awesome to watch that mama hen.
I believe the chickens have a far larger vocabulary than, I think someone said, 32 different sounds. I don't think they included broody mothers or roosters and some of the different things that roosters can do. I think they probably just looked at commercial farms. But I would, in fact, I'm even thinking about making a recording of some of the different sounds and what they mean, because there's a whole vocabulary, rich vocabulary that's there. Yeah.
I agree. It's awesome. So what else have you been doing?
Well, I visited Carl Mogensen. He had his knee replaced. He's the owner of the Natural Bridge Zoo. Remember, we had him on the show, and I know he's been in quite a bit of pain, so he finally got it done. And so I just walked out of the hospital, and I'm sitting here in the parking lot calling into the show. So he's looking frisky. His color's good. He's got his usual sense of humor, and he's looking forward to him. Forward to physical therapy this afternoon and for the next couple of days, but he's doing great. And he sends his regards, absolutely. He said he'd be more than happy to have us at the zoo, and anytime you're up in the area, Whisper, you and Jen, little Caleb, just come on by and we'll get the grand tour.
Yeah, I think that'll be awesome. And more power to him having that knee surgery. I know many people handle and deal with that differently, and I'm struggling to know or to think if I know anybody that's had a successful knee surgery. My dad's had both knees replaced. He's had to gone back and had a second one replaced. And then Jen's brother-in-law had it done, and he's no better than before he had the knee replaced.
Really?
Yeah. And
oh,
then
my
mom's knee replacement, she had one and about didn't recover from that one, and then didn't seem to help. And then she had another one, as you remember, last year, and then that killed her. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of that. I'm not a big fan of surgery, because I've had, I don't know, maybe one person I know of, I can think in my brain right now, where that actually helped. So, not a big fan. So, and that's just, again, probably unique situation that I don't know anybody that actually knee surgery has helped, or had major complications from. So, but I'm sure there are people out there, and I wish him all the best of the luck, and hope it ends up being well worth it to him.
Yeah, Whisper, I know quite a few people that have had knees replaced, including my aunt, and it went fabulously well. I mean, they wish they had it done ages earlier because of the pain of sort of that bone grinding on bone in their old knees.
That's the pain. That's what happened to mom. She was just like, you know, and that's what I think most people, you know, who wants to go in and have surgery, you know, with all the risks that are involved in that. But, yeah, it ends up being, you know, I would, you know, almost would rather die than deal with this pain every single day of my life. I have no quality of life, so I'm going to go get it done. And get it done. So I'm glad there are some people out there that had success with it. So, but
we'll be on progress with how Carl goes. He's a pretty big healthy guy. So we'll see how he progresses. I'm sure he'll be fine. But
very good.
The main thing is getting out of the hospital. You know, really, hospitals are kind of terrible places to be sick.
Yes, they are.
Infectious diseases.
Well, I posted a something on my personal page about how many hundreds, literally hundreds of thousands of people check in and never check out, not because of their ailment, but because of things they get while they're at the hospital, whether it be medical mistakes, whether it be surgical mistakes, whether it be medication mistakes, and literally hundreds of thousands of people dead, not because of why they went in, or whether it be the flesh-eating diseases that they get, the MRSA, all that, and a lot of it was just common human error, so... Yeah, whatever you can do to stay out of those places, that's what you need to do. That's for sure. Believe it or not, I was in a hospital. I think it was let me think who I was visiting. And you know, I'm doggone it, I can't remember who I was visiting in the hospital at this time. But there was a young girl in ICU. I think she was, I don't know, maybe 14 years old. And she was in there fighting for her life, literally hour by hour, because, and then here it is. This is how simple it is, things that can just take us off this planet. And she was shaving her armpits, I guess, and I don't know if she got, but she got an infection, basically. And they tracked it back to shaving her armpit and got this horrible infection and to be honest, I don't even know if she actually made it or not, because we had left the hospital, and then it just always stuck with me, something like that. Here's this 13-year-old girl, and just got this infection because of that, fighting for her life. And they think, again, this is what the family said, they think that she got it because she went into the emergency room, and then they treated her for it initially. I guess opened up the cyst or the boil or whatever it was, the growth, and then they think they got this infection through the emergency room by going to the hospital, and now she's dealing with this stuff. So pretty crazy. Actually, FMA Farms, let me tell you, If you use Whisper at Brinsea, you get 10% off. They were talking about different codes in the chat room. And, yes, if you use the key code Whisper at Brinsea, Brinsea.com, whether you call or order online, you get 10% off. If you listen to our commercial that we play every day a couple of times per show, let me play it for you, and it'll talk about using the coupon code.
When you need an incubator, think Brinsea, the incubation specialist. Brinsea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brinsea.com. Brinsea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brinsea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brinsea, technology you can trust.
There you have it, 10% off, and if they give you any problems with that, then I'll give them a call later this afternoon. So, but yeah, 10% off when they use the key code Whisper, and I have a contact there the whole nine yards. We've been playing that commercial for, 8 months now since they become a sponsor of the radio show. So 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code Whisper at Brinsea. When you use that coupon code at randallburkey.com, whether you call in or order online. And, this is funny, and I'm really proud to say this, but it's just Whisper. Whisper, no Whisperer. And when we were doing the code, it's just Whisper. Because some people are like, well, how do you spell Whisperer? Is it Whisper, Whisperer? So Whisper, just W-H-I-S-P-E-R. And that's at Randall Burkey and at Brinsea. And we used to have some other codes. But let me tell you, this is neat. we had that code. I think it was free shipping on your entire order at eggcartons.com, I would just tell you. And we had that, and they've been a long-time sponsor. We love them over there. And it got to the point, honestly, where they were just getting so many Whisper codes that, to be honest, they weren't making a dime on a lot of the stuff that they were shipping out because of the free shipping based on, even though egg cartons don't weigh a lot, they had big packages, so they charge on, or maybe they're getting some heavy this or heavy that. So we ended up doing kind of different promotions with eggcartons.com, our longtime sponsor over there. I was kind of proud to hear that they were getting so many people, either Facebook or Twitter, or listening to this radio show, our thousands of listeners, they were taking advantage of that code. And it just got to the point where, like, hey, back, when you didn't have as many listeners, it would seem to be working real well. But now that you have more and more and more, and people are using the codes, which is great. Thanks. Keep sending them to us. But it was a point where they were just not doing, they don't want to lose money. But they want customers. So we did other options. If you get something, mention key code Whisper, and you'll get an extra a free something or another. So we've got that. And then now eggcartons.com has free shipping all the time, no code necessary, on egg cartons and egg crates. So anytime you order any egg cartons or egg crates from eggcartons.com, free shipping anyway. So they saw the great advantage of that, and it worked good. And so someone said they're emailing them right now with their order confirmation. They're trying to get that 10% off at Brinsea. And if you have any problems, tell them that I said give you 10% off, key code Whisper. And I think I'm trying to think of the young lady's name, my contact there. I know Love for Poultry has it. Love for Poultry, if you could post the young lady's name, who our contact is there that we deal with. I'm trying to think of her name. And they're down in Florida, Titusville, Florida, and maybe you can throw that name out there if they give you any flack. Yeah, at Brinsea, and I'm trying to think of her name. Anyway, if you can post it in the chat room for them, they can. Yeah, Pascale, P-A-S-C-A-L-E, I guess it's pronounced in the chat room. Say, you need to check with Pascale because 10% off when you use a key code Whisper. So anyway, wanted to address that in the chat room as I saw that, and any other codes will definitely. And if, I'm sure if you use the coupon code, I'm pretty sure because we've talked about it at myamishgoods.com, myamishgoods.com, and Yeah, tell them I'll sick the attack rooster on them. That's what I'll do.
Oh dear.
That's funny. Okay, well let's get over to let's see. We get over here to
chickens in the news.
Yeah, they got about 16,000 things going on right now. So I'm going to be on the radio this afternoon, and I'm not sure. Oh, WJBC. I think Love for Poultry. If you'll post that in the chat room, that'll be great too. Everybody can tune in if you're there. WJBC.com. www.wjbc.com. And I think the town they're in. I think the town's called Normal. If memory serves, I think the town's called the town there that's trying to allow chickens is a little controversy there. They want me on to straighten it up. Looks like 3:10. Is that Eastern time, Love for Poultry? I'm not sure where that town is or what state they're in, so it may be Central. So we need to check and see if that's Eastern time, Central time, Mountain time, based on where they're located. Anyway, so, and then there was somebody else that wanted to do an interview later this afternoon, too, and I can't remember who it was, but she is on top of it, and she was like, okay, she sent me instant messages. She said she didn't even think if that was Central or Eastern or Pacific. Well, I don't think it's Pacific. I think they're Midwest, so it may be Central. It may be Central time, so, and yes, okay, it is Central time, I think she says. So all right, I got a message that says, thanks CW, any break in shelling out cash in this economy is a huge help. We try to do what we can. That's why we try to give away prizes every day on the radio show and Fun Friday, where we try to give away a lot of things, and it may be something simple like a poster. But let me tell you, those hot posters we've been giving away are hot hot. They are awesome. Everybody loves them. Everybody wants them. I still get emails. Hey, how can I get that awesome poster? So it could be a poster. It could be something you need for your backyard. The great ManaPro products like the Carefree Enzymes. I got to have him on too, Pat. I got to get contacted him. He contacted me back, said, hey, we're ready to come on. I got to get him on to come on and talk about their poultry protector and their water protector that they've got out, and I got to get them on. So he can explain to us how that works, why it works. I know there was some controversy. I had posted something about water protector on the website. You know, you can't make everybody happy, you know, with all the, you know, thousands of folks out there, and I don't even try. If you don't like it, then I think there's an unlike button on our Facebook page. So just click unlike, and you won't have to worry about anything that I say. And then you don't have to tune in either, but we would hope you would. But if you don't like it, hey, don't complain. Just hit unlike or don't listen. But we had posted something. I'm not going to worry about it. Posted something about the water protector and then talking about apple cider vinegar, which Jen and I have used for years. And our main reason for using it, and again, I don't know of a study on the books anywhere on the planet that says it's good for chickens. I'm going to pull a Dr. McRae. Show me the proof. Show me a study. I don't see a study anywhere that says it's good for chickens. It may be good for people, but that doesn't mean it's good for chickens. But we gave it for years, mainly not because of the health benefits, if they exist. And I'm not against that. Just show me the proof. The issue there would be basically in the summertime, between I would say maybe about now, maybe starting to get warm, June, July, August, September. We do that, and because we use the big 5-7 gallon waterers, it may be 2 or 3 days before, you know, we add the water and switching over, and it keeps that kind of that algae down, that green algae or that little layer of slime you get, and on any water, whether it be a dog water or cat water or on the fish tank, whatever the heck it is, bird feeder. And so alrighty, 3:10 p.m. Central time. So 3:10 p.m. Central time, which would be 4:10 Eastern time. So 3:10 Central time. And let me see if I can scroll up and get that website. I don't know if you can listen online or not. WJBC, WJBC.com. And we'll see if we can't listen online when we click on that website. And you can hear that interview with me this afternoon. And looking forward to that. Maybe you can listen online and hear me set the record straight about
right.
Says you can go to iHeartRadio. Never heard of it, believe it or not. Maybe it's just a generic website where you can listen to different radio stations. Listen to any radio station anywhere. Interesting. iHeartRadio. I have to look that up. Okay, so we got to have them on, and then I think tomorrow Dr. McCray is out on conference. She's out on a conference, and so I think tomorrow I'm going to try to get – we've been trying to schedule him about three times, and it ends up being our fault if something comes up or the issue. Let me see. Let me tell you who we're going to try to have on tomorrow. The owner and founder – if the website will come up here. Come on. There we go. Of well, no, that's not it. Hang on. I thought it was Eggsy. Maybe it's Eggsy.org or net. Let's see.
I've got a brief news announcement, Whisper, if you want a little bit of time to look for that.
Yeah, that'll be fine. Go ahead.
This is very timely, too, because it's effective today. And today, I didn't realize until this came across my desk, but today, May 4th, is the International Respect for Chickens Day. And there are activists that are celebrating in Washington, D.C. This is sponsored by the United Poultry Concerns, and their mission with the International Respect for Chickens Day is to draw attention to the plight and the delight of chickens. So what they're saying, this is over the U.S. Newswire, International Respect for Chickens Day is an annual project of the United Poultry Concerns dedicated to celebrating the beauty of chickens and protesting the misery of their lives in poultry operations. It started in 2005, so this must be its sixth year that they've been doing this. The International Respect for Chickens Day urges people to do a compassionate action for chickens on or around today, May 4th. And they suggest things like leaf eating a busy street corner, tableting at a local school, a church or shopping center, whatever. They're just and I guess they have flyers that they can help hand out to increase the respect for chickens. And what they're doing is they're saying people flock to Washington, D.C. in May to see the beauty of the spring in the nation's capital. And this is from the president, UPC president Karen Davis. She goes, they have king, get this Whisper, they have our king-size bus posters and the White House event are great ways to bring attention to the life of chickens and the joy of a compassionate diet. The mother hens and their chicks are the traditional symbols of spring and rebirth. But the loving care of a mother hen for her chickens has been, well, they're saying destroyed by the brutality of family farming. Anyway, Shakespeare called the rooster the bird of dawn and the trumpet of morn, M-O-R-N. And this is in letters from an American farmer that was published in 1782. In letters from an American farmer published in 1782 by St. John de Clevecourt, he just spoke his admiration for the gentle hen that leads her little baby chicks with a care and vigilance which speaks shame to many women. In other words, remember we had the African saying that if you were raised by a hen, that was a compliment saying that you were really well raised. So,
mm-hmm.
Anyway,
yeah.
The purpose for the International Respect for Chickens Day is to affirm the value of these experiences that are native to chickens and the symbolic to all life, and to encourage people to cherish chickens and, of course, respect them. And I think one of the things that's happened with factory farming is that chickens are become so cheap. You figure you can buy a completely cooked rotisserie chicken for $10. So
$10?
The cheapness,
they're $3.99 here at Kroger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or you can buy a whole chicken for what? What are they selling for? I don't know about that,
but all day I'll go up to Kroger or Publix. They'll be like, rotisserie chicken and your choice of lemon pepper, barbecue, or original, $3.99.
That's all for the whole chicken?
The whole chicken, rotisserie and everything, packaged up, $3.99.
Yeah. So I think in our culture we tend to think that if things are cheap, they don't have value, even though they have life. And, of course, that brings back to Temple Grandin's saying in her movie, until they turn to meat or until they turn to food, we have to respect them because they have life. So I was pleased to see that there's actually an annual Respect for Chickens Day. So I love that one. I just had to bring it off today since it's the day. And I'd love to see some of those bus-sized posters in Washington, D.C., and they're going to have an event at the White House, apparently, on the White House grounds to celebrate chickens. How about that?
That would be awesome. I wish I could be there. Hey, when is someone talked about in the chat room Cinco de Mayo?
I don't know. When would that be?
I don't know. Is it today?
Well, I think today is the 4th. So does that make it today, Cinco de Mayo?
I don't know. But I'm telling you what, like, man, I think that, I don't know, but it seems like every year, for some reason, we celebrate this old ship that sunk that was loaded with mayonnaise. And I don't understand it. I mean, it's just I don't know what year that happened or what was so significant about this old ship sailing across the Gulf of Mexico that actually sank, that ended up being loaded with mayonnaise they were bringing to America, and so now we celebrate Cinco de Mayo. And so I just don't get it, you know, celebrating a ship that sank with a bunch of mayonnaise on it. I'm not sure when it's at, but they were talking about it in the chat room. So, I mean, every year let's celebrate Cinco de Mayo. So,
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. That's really funny. I love that. I love the great humor. You know, it just gets me tickled. It's so innocent and clean. Oh, Cinco de Mayo. That's like Albuquerque. The Prairie Home Companion did an episode on this guy named Albuquerque.
Yep, good old Prairie Home
Companion. You can say that name without thinking of Albuquerque.
Love it. I love it. Okay, yeah. Tomorrow I'm going to try to have the owner and founder of Eggsy on, Eggsy.net, www.eggzy, Eggsy.net, Know Your Food. Manager, Backyard Chickens Online. Eggsy is a movement to make our food system personal again. We're all about promoting small flocks as an important part of the local food movement, and apparently you can register your flock so people can find you if you have eggs to sell anywhere in America. It says right now they have 1,534 hens from 143 flocks. They laid 7,876 eggs in the last 30 days, enough to meet the daily protein requirements of 345 people. So very, very cool. Eggsy.net. You can register your flocks if you want people to know that you may have fresh backyard eggs available to sell. So,
how do you spell that website there, Whisper, for those of us that aren't on the chat room?
Eggzy, 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 Eggzy.net, Eggzy.net. And very, very
cool.
Check that out. Yep, and there's a little hen there that says, "Don't eat eggs from strangers." And
you never know where that egg's been.
Yes.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, so we're going to try to have him on tomorrow.
Well,
that
gets
available.
Local farming.
Yeah, yeah. In case it'll be short notice, but maybe he can come on tomorrow. That'll be neat. If not, we'll have him on eventually, and we will enjoy that. Okay, let me go back over here. Let's see what time is it. It's about half past the hour, so we're going to go ahead and let me see what we got here. Getting a bunch of trash messages. See who's viewed your profile. Then you click on the link and it's a virus. See who viewed your profile. Click here. And then all of a sudden you get a... Okay, got another interview lined up today. Looks like with Patriot Ledger. The Patriot Ledger out of Quincy, Mass. Quincy, Mass. And so I'm not sure what time that is, but I don't know if that's... Is that a newspaper? Yeah, I think that's a newspaper. I think I read an article from the Patriot... Yeah, newspaper, PatriotLedger.com. So I got an interview with them, so maybe we'll get some print up there in their town about backyard poultry. 2 p.m. So I got that, but 2 p.m. interview with those folks, and then at 3:10, actually 3:10 Central, 4:10 Eastern. And I'll post it on our Facebook page the way you can listen, and so we can spread the chicken love around the country. But it's a little bit, well, right at half past the hour, we're going to take a short commercial break. And you're going to love today's show. During the commercial break, guys, don't forget, get that pen and paper ready. You know that one you keep by your computer that says Chicken Whisperer Radio Show Notes, or CW Notes? And get it out, get that pen and pencil ready, because you're going to take a lot of notes today, I'm sure, because it's another great episode of Garden Wise Living with Arlena. And today we're talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to bare root versus container plants. Bare root versus container plants. And we might even throw bald and burlap in there too. What the heck? Bare root, bald and burlap, container plants, the good and the bad, the ugly, which is better, different planting techniques for each, if you ever wanted to know. And cost effectiveness and the whole nine yards. So we'll be talking about that, and we may even take some of your questions live on the show towards the end of the segment. But we'll be back with Arlena right after this short break. Stay with us, folks.
Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Designed for starting and growing game birds, turkeys, ducks, geese, and broilers, ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird Crumbles feature 24% protein and a combination of vitamins, minerals, and yeast culture. This complete feed does it all, from growth and weight gain to healthy development and even improved digestion. So next time you're starting some new birds, try ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird formula and see the difference.
Ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality built chicken coops for every size flock and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thanks very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Three things, if I can remember here, the chat room's a hoot today. We are very, very close. When we say close, we're pretty much down to the last card regarding approval for our Chicken Whisperer collector cards. This is unprecedented stuff. This is absolutely awesome. We've gotten tons and tons of feedback from them with FFA, 4-H, the poultry youth clubs around the country, and adults. And to give you an idea, they're just like baseball cards, but for chickens. And each case, it's going to come not in these little foil wrappers. We want to do this first class. They come in a nice, hard plastic case with a cover. It's absolutely awesome, yeah. And then each deck contains 15 cards. It'll be 5 large fowl, 5 bantam cards, 2 educational cards. This first series, one of the educational cards is a coccidiosis. The other kind of educational or tip card is about showing, and it's how to kind of wrap a chicken after you've given it a bath. And then we got 3 sponsor cards that are sponsoring this first series. We hope to have 2 series every year, a spring and a fall series release. And they should be, I think, right at $5, $4.99, maybe right at $5. And we got that price from going to big box stores looking at the hot cards that are out there. Some just contain 7 cards and they're $5. Some are more than $5. Yes, some are $1.99 or $2.99, but they contain 5 cards and they're not so popular cards anymore. But these comes with a real nice hard plastic case, beautiful sheen-colored cards with great information on them. In the first run, 2,500 decks, so you're going to want to try to get them as soon as we release them, and we'll let you know when they are released. But I'm waiting back to hear from one more person to get final approval on their sponsor card. And then, in fact, cards have already started printing. The ones that we've actually approved have already started printing, and we're waiting on just a couple or one more to get approved, and then they'll all print, and they'll all get shipped to us. We'll start packing them up, and then we'll get them out to the folks that are buying. But I think they're going to be, right now, the target price, $5. Now, the next release, this is the first time we've ever done this, and just like a calculator. When it was released, it was probably $1,000, and now you can get them for $1. So we'll just see kind of how this goes. The next release, we print more. We get a better rate when we print them and whatnot. So we'll just see kind of how that works, but really interested in that. So looking for that. So yeah. So
hey, Whisper, you got to reserve me one. I'm expecting one copy. One.
Okay.
Back.
Yep. We'll send one to you. That's not a problem. Somebody said FMA Farms. I think she put this on our Facebook page as well. She said, "Y'all, you need to have a card in there of a picture of the CW and Pat and Dr. McCray and the chicken doctor I have thought about
Oprah
this.
Henfrey. I think Oprah Henfrey ought to be
Oprah
in there.
Oprah Henfrey. Yep, absolutely.
She's an ambassador. And, yeah, Ambassador Henfrey.
There you go. Absolutely. I love it. And so we'll see what we can do. I'm thinking about, and they'll probably do it for us for free. I can't imagine it being much, but remind me about this love for poultry. If maybe out of 2,500 decks, maybe we have 10. Maybe they can just go ahead and print us 10 cards. How hard would that be? And of maybe a picture of Brighton or something. And then that can be the collector card. Or maybe it can be a picture of Pat or myself, or maybe you can have a special and maybe just have 10 printed. And look for the special, kind of like the Willy Wonka golden ticket, and you'll get one card in there, 10 out of 2,500. And if you get that, then that'll be the real collectible card. Look what I got. So who knows? We'll just see what happens. We'll play around with it. And also we had some suggestions. People asked, is there going to be a stick of gum in the cards? You know, the baseball cards come with a stick of gum. They wanted to know.
Uh-huh.
And no, it's not going to have a stick of gum, but it is going to have a couple of mealworms for your chickens in there. Just kidding.
You are not.
No,
you're not kidding at all.
No mealworms, but we thought about that. Instead of no sticks of gum in there, but maybe we can put a little Ziploc thing of mealworms, a special treat for your chickens. So it's funny. But anyway, all righty, we've chatted enough here. Let's get on to the switchboard here, because I know that she's waiting patiently to spread all of her knowledge and the good news about container.
You.
Yes, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry. I'm driving, and there's a road crew here, and she told me to go because there was a stop sign, and I just said thank you. I forgot I was on the air.
No problem. Now,
sorry.
You drive careful now. So, it is now time. It is great. It's the first Wednesday of the month. Always on the first and third Wednesday is gardening, Garden Wise Living with Arlena, and she's here to teach us all about bare root plants and container plants. We'll throw in bald and burlap plants as well, and it is the one, the only, Arlena Schott. Welcome, Arlena.
Hello there. How are you? Happy spring. It's actually a sunny day here in Wisconsin, which is one of a few that we've had anyway, so it's really nice to see the sunshine outside.
Is it green up there, Carlina?
It's always green. It seems like it's green instantly. Under the snow, it's green. It's just, It's been really chilly and cold and rainy. We haven't had many above normal temperatures here, but today it's actually creeping into the 60s, so that's really, really been, it's been nice to see. Well, I know, it's crazy. We should have 60s by now, but yesterday was like 45. Day before, we're down to 42, so it's been really chilly. Haven't been able to do much in the garden other than a few greens and getting things cleaned up, but we'll be looking forward to doing it now.
Excellent.
Yeah, so today I wanted to talk a little bit about bare root trees. Here in Wisconsin, obviously, we're still in the season of getting things in the ground. We're still thinking about getting things planted, and one of my favorite things to do is to check out the nurseries. The independent garden centers like to have some bare root stock available early spring for us gardeners that want to take advantage of some of the lower costs or some of the advantages of bare root planting. So I thought today I'd talk a little bit about bare roots planting versus containers versus bald and burlap. There's just lots of things that go around that subject. So that's what I thought we should talk about today.
Excellent.
Yes.
And it is the season, so...
It is the season, especially here in Wisconsin, where, or actually Zone 4 or 5, where there's still a huge timetable, open window for bare root containers or bare root planting. I do know that there are several independent garden centers around me here that are throwing a bare root sale. And then there are, of course, lots of online, you know, Stark Brothers Nursery. There's lots of online companies that have wonderful bare root stock that come. And it is kind of a very sustainable way of doing business, the bare root, because there are a lot of advantages to it. Like everything else, there is some disadvantages, but let's talk a little bit about the advantages. What is a bare root tree, and what, you know, how do they go about doing that? Well, a bare root tree is basically it's dug and it's stored without any soil around their trees, and they're mostly put into cold storage and then brought out and shipped. So as far as an advantage for planting a bare root tree or shrub, there is advantage of more root mass because they're not cut to fit to a container size to be grown in a container. They're actually left with a lot more, 150 to 200% more roots than a bald B&B, a bald and burlap, or a container tree. Yes, depending on the soil.
Wow, I had no idea.
And of course, the transplant history and of the nursery. You want to make sure that you're purchasing from a reputable nursery or garden center that stands behind some of their products. And you can really take a peek at those bare root trees. You know, pull them up and just take a peek of what has been done to those roots so that they haven't been trimmed back far. You know, and you still have a lot of those feeler roots in there. You know, you've got your main tap root intact, the tap root is intact, and you know that root base is the root, that's the life of that plant. So usually they come with a lot more root mass than a container grown tree, which actually sometimes has been trimmed to fit into that container, or a bald and burlapped I really like too, but sometimes those also have been trimmed to fit for garden center use. So a bare root stock is really a great way to find something that's really healthy and ready to go in the ground. So that's a really good advantage. It usually has more root mass than a container-grown tree. Another good advantage is low cost. Of course, they don't have the cost of shipping because they're lighter weight. You don't have a lot of the extra cost of handling it and container and planting it and then growing it for a season in that container. So usually you can find bare root stock less expensive than a container tree or a B&B tree, a bald and burlapped tree or shrub. So that's a really good advantage. You can get several trees for the price of one sometimes, just depending on what variety you're choosing. And then again, there's that ease of planting. You know, a lot of us don't want to pick up those heavy containers. It's easy to get them in the car because they're bare root. It's easier to take them home and transplant them, carry them from the car or the truck to the area to be planted. So their ease of planting is much better sometimes than a container tree. Because sometimes those larger caliper trees, and the caliper meaning the size of the trunk is measured by caliper size, is some of those balls, the base of the tree, the root of the tree, the container has to be much larger in order to maintain the root for the top of the tree. So sometimes those can become very, very heavy, and you can't transport them sometimes in cars. So ease of planting is another great advantage. So we have more root mass, basically, for advantage. We have lower cost, and we have ease of planting. So those are the three basic and most important advantages to using or planting bare root trees and shrubs. And that's why I like to use them. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, along with advantages, there does come some disadvantages. Usually when we go to a garden center, we've already made plans of what kind of tree we're going to purchase. So we can get it home and we can set around a container tree. We can sit around and move it around and decide where we want to put it. And we don't have that rush to get it in the soil as quick as we do with a bare root container or a bare root tree or shrub. Bare root means bare root. It has no soil. So your window is much smaller for the time to get it in the soil. Usually you want to get it in the ground within a week at the longest from getting it from the garden center. And make sure when you do look at if you're going to one of your independent garden centers, look at how they store them. Usually they're stored in rows in a light mulch just to keep the bases nice and moist so the roots don't dry out. That's the biggest thing. Don't dry out your roots. And usually independent garden centers know exactly what to do because that's what an independent is known for, the garden centers. They're known for knowing their stuff. So they really, really have an invested interest in keeping those plants healthy so that when they get home, they grow for us because that's their business. That's their livelihood. They're in it for the long haul, not for the short run like the big box stores. So independents are a way to go when you want to look for bare root stock. But then the other narrow, your narrow planting window is like the biggest part. And what I like to do is I like to soak my plant, make sure you keep it wet and soak it 3 to 4 hours before planting. Another thing is, another disadvantage to buying bare root stock, trees or shrubs, you have restricted availability usually. Usually you don't get that full list of, for instance, apple trees and fruit trees or berry bushes that you would have in containers. You usually get a restricted availability at your independent garden centers because they're not going to be able to carry the whole list. So, you may have to look into that, or buy from Stark Brothers online, which has huge varieties of bare root stock. Or ask your garden center, if you're planning for the future, your independent garden center, to plant more bare root stock, if when they're making their orders in the fall for spring delivery, that they include some varieties that you may want to add to that, if their varieties were restricted and didn't have something that you wanted. But that's just another, I guess that's not really a big disadvantage, but there are a few disadvantages, and I guess that would be one of them.
Wow.
But anyway, it's really kind of fun, and there is also a fall window as well. It's independent garden centers will have that will have less availability for fall bare root planting. But then online, there's lots of different companies that will actually offer a fall bare root stock planting. And spring and fall is the best time. Is actually the only time you want to be planting bare root stock versus container stock because obviously they have no soil. So you need to get them in the ground where they're dormant before their bud breaks on the top and get them going so that they have all summer to catch up and make those roots healthy. Yeah.
Interesting. Arlene, do you find that fall planting is a little bit easier on trees because they can get those roots established all during the winter even though they're dormant?
Then again, here I go with my rebel gardening. I plant from when I can dig a hole to when I cannot dig a hole. I have planted a tree the day before Thanksgiving. I've planted a tree. She's laughing at me. I have planted a tree the day before Thanksgiving.
I laugh at Andy.
I know. Day before Thanksgiving, I put things in through a snowstorm. As long as I can dig a hole, I'm planting. and then early spring again. So it just depends. Some varieties of trees, and depending on your stock again, always buy from a reputable supplier. Make sure those plants are healthy. If you get them in the ground and they were healthy going into the ground, they should stay just fine. Of course, moisture is the key, but I do like to plant in the fall. And it's the plants are going dormant. They're going to sleep. You don't have to worry about that hot heat summer coming along and drying them out because you went on vacation. And then they wake right up and they come right back into spring and they're raring to go. Yes, I do love to transplant in the fall. Yes, I do. Yeah. So another thing, let's talk a little bit about bare roots. B&B, that word, the B&B. What does that mean? Bald and burlap.
Okay, I was going to say, I love to stay at bed and breakfast. That's one of my highlights when we travel. I absolutely love it.
Me too, actually.
No, you can plant them. He'll start planting B&Bs in his backyard so he can stay there.
Yes, you will. I know. I have to clarify what I'm speaking about on this radio show. I've tried to remember that to myself, to try to clarify before I stick my foot in my mouth. So at B&B,
something we haven't seen often.
That's right.
It's called the B&F. It's the barefoot.
barefoot syndrome. That's right. A B&B is a shrub or a tree that's been dug in the field. They're actually grown in the soil, field-grown trees and shrubs, and they have a machine or a tool that digs a root ball. Basically, it's the root of the plant that has a large soil mass. I'm trying to be more. They dig it up, and it's a big whole ball that's wrapped in burlap, and it's minus the container again. Usually, what's really good about those, an advantage for B&B, is you can get larger specimens that way. Most of your B&B bald and burlap trees and shrubs tend to be a larger caliber. Again, that's the size of the trunk around or across, and they are usually a taller tree and a larger caliper size on those trees and shrubs. Again, a bald and burlapped is much heavier than a container because for the pure fact that a container-grown tree usually has soil and planting mix that makes it lighter, where a bald and burlap tree or shrub is dug from a field-grown specimen or trees and shrubs, and that soil tends to be much heavier. So, again, for specimen-wise, you can usually get a larger specimen of tree or shrub with a bald and burlapped versus a container-grown or a bare root stock. So that is kind of an advantage to bald and burlapped. And those are very easy to plant as well. And most people tend to want to leave that burlap and that wire cage on, and that is a no-no.
No.
That is a no-no, but I have seen it done. I've been called to I am a landscape designer by trade, and I have been called to a job site and start working, and this poor tree is not growing or it died, and you start digging around, and there is that burlap there. Well, you would hope, though, and I've had this problem with bald and burlap, when were they bald, and how long have they been that way? Because a freshly bald and burlapped shrub or tree will tend, the root or the soil will tend to fall away, taking those hairline roots with it, and then it just takes a little bit longer for that tree to struggle to come back, or the shrub. So it's nice to know when was your B&B done and dug, and know that it's already solid.
Arlena, are you saying that the older B&Bs that have been bald for quite a while, the soil falls away and takes the hair roots, or is it the younger ones?
The younger ones, I'm sorry. It's the younger ones. The ones that have not been. The younger ones. When they're freshly dug, they should, bald and burlapped, they should sit for just a little while, just so that those tender roots can hang on to that soil. Rather than falling away.
Okay, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, another question I have is, an arborist friend of mine said that the larger bald and burlapped trees, like when they start getting 5 feet and maybe even more, that often their taproot is cut and that gives them a really hard time to get started again, or they'll die within 3 to 4 years, and they kind of expect that. Is that true?
Well, to expect it, no, you should. That's not true. And most reputable companies will dig a proper root mass, a proper size for the caliber or the height of that tree. And you, when you're looking at bald and burlapped stock in an independent garden center or at your nurseries, you want to look at the size of the bald and the ball comparative to the size of the trunk and the height of the tree. It should be huge. And that's the disadvantage of that size of tree is they're going to be very heavy, but again, the specimen should be larger. But no, that should not. They usually aren't trimmed tight. If you're getting, for instance, an evergreen tree that's 6 to 8 feet tall, that ball mass should be 200 to 300 pounds. You're not going to be able to just grab a hold of it and throw it in your car. You should have to make plans for that. But if there are some smaller root balls, you don't want to mess with that tree. It has been cut, and I don't know necessarily want to call it my taproot's been cut, but I want to say that the root mass has not been left intact, let's put it that way, because it's not just the taproot that we're worried about. We're worried about the little fingerling roots as well, and those are very important for the health of the tree.
Is there kind of a rule of thumb ratio when you're looking at trees, saying if it's 4 feet tall, it has a 2 foot ball type of thing?
I would say yes. If you're looking at, let's say, a 4 foot tall tree, that ball should be at least 2 feet across, and if at least a foot half to 2 feet tall, that's what I would look for. Again, there would be a disadvantage, again, if the B&B. They are going to be very heavy. But if you're putting in something, for instance, you want to invest a money into a shade tree, a tree for your area, if you're in an area that the trees do not grow very rapidly, for instance, Nevada, then you want to invest some money into a shade tree that's going to be a staple for your yard, a standard, or we call the bones of the yard, or the landscape is what I call them in my business. Then you may want to spend $300 to $400 on a nice size, nice caliper size tree, and then that base is going to be monstrous. If your tree's 14 feet tall, 15 feet tall, you're looking at a 5 foot, a 4 to 5 foot across base on that root ball. So, you know, again, look, make sure you investigate where you're purchasing your bald and burlap from so that they're not just freshly dug stock and that somebody has just gone through and quickly thrown inside a ball, some burlap, and then you get home and try to unwrap it and you've got a mess. Yeah, you want some establishment there.
Gotcha. Very interesting. I didn't know that.
Very cool. It's 1 o'clock on the dot, so we're going to take a commercial break. If you're just tuning in, it is the first Wednesday of the month, which means it's Garden Wise Living with Arlena, and we're talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly, the advantages, disadvantages of bare root, bald and burlap, and container plants. So I hope you're taking lots of notes, learning lots of great stuff. We'll be back right after this short break.
You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size, flock, and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your HenSaver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Hey ladies, do you have a hard time finding the perfect gift for that animal lover on your list? I did, but not anymore. I shop at HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a great selection of dog, cat, horse, and chicken gifts that are not only cute, but affordable too. Check them out at HobbyHillFarm.com and become a Facebook fan at Facebook.com/HobbyHillFarm to receive updates on new products and special discounts. I just know you're going to love HobbyHillFarm.com. I do.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce. I'll don my super suit.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Because it is Wednesday, we didn't do this at the top of the hour, so we're going to do it very quickly now. It's now time to welcome our good friend Jesse with BidBird.com, and he's got a couple of auctions on his site that he'd like to feature with us today. Hey, Jesse.
Good afternoon, Andy. Hello, Pat. Sorry I was away last week. I was busy working on some proposed cards for you guys. What do you think? Would you trust me making your cards? Your collector cards. I think I'm gonna work on some collector cards for Andy, and we'll have to include pictures of both you guys together. What do you think?
I was thinking that as he was talking about these special collector cards.
Yeah,
composite of us all.
I have Photoshop. We'll travel. Exactly.
Yeah,
and
you're very good.
And I was thinking instead of those mealworms, we could do some AI samples and stuff. What do you think?
Oh, God, Jesse.
Well, today we're going to feature, on that note, we have some golden peach pheasants. Mary, under the username Chevette, has a pair of them up for auction. They're currently at $250. They are absolutely beautiful. The hen is laying already, so you can find them under the pheasant category. And also, Jean Ribbick, Pips and Peeps, see her in the chat room often here. She has 3 different auctions for Americana hatching eggs. They're buff Americanas, black blue, and blue splash Americanas. So if you're looking for some Americanas, and she always tells you there's no I in Americana, she has some available on auction now. So there you go, Andy.
Awesome.
Very good. Awesome. That was short and sweet. Thank you very much for coming on and sharing that with us. And go over and take a look at BidBird.com. Check them out daily because you never know what's going to be listed. You never know what might get sold. You never know what breeder is showing what they've got there on BidBird.com. So, alrighty, it is now back to our regular programming, Garden Wise Living with Arlena, talking all about bare root, bald and burlapped, and container growing and container plants. So, welcome back, Arlena.
Hello, hello. I'm here.
Yay.
Yay. I thought maybe we'd talk a little bit about planting them. If you're getting some bare root stock, there are lots of bare root things right now around zone 4 and 5. You can see in 6. As far as any of the small berries, you can find bare root bundles of berry plants and grapes and strawberries, raspberries, blueberries, blackberries. Asparagus is wonderful. Actually, absolutely the only way, in my opinion, to plant asparagus is from a bare root. Then there's rhubarb, which is coming up wonderfully and strong right now here in Wisconsin. And that also can come as a bare root. Then also there's, there's just lots of things around here that do come bare root, and it's really an easy way to, and an affordable way to add those edibles to your landscape with a bare root. And I like, for instance, even horseradish, it comes bare root, and you can throw those in. When I get my bare root stock, you always want to remember that you have a smaller window to get those planted because you don't want the roots to dry out. So what I do is I unpack those, and I soak them in water for 3 to 6 hours, depending on whether it's a berry plant, which is less time, maybe 3 hours, or my shade trees or my fruit trees that I like to soak 3 to 6 hours. And that allows those roots to plump up, and they absorb the water through those dormant root cells on that Cambrian layer there. Now, what I do then is I dig my hole. I like to dig it twice the size of the root ball that my bare root has. And bare roots, like I say, that's an advantage. They're usually really nice size roots that come on your stock. So dig it twice as big. Then what I do is I like to put I put my bare root, my tree in the hole. And when you look at your tree, you've got the root stock, the roots that comes up to where usually there's the graft, and that's kind of an ugly, the bad of it. You called it the good and bad of it, but the bad of the look of the tree. Everybody always wants to bury that. You know, can I just plant my tree above that? Because that really looks bad. You know, it's the graft. It's actually where the rootstock is grafted to the fruiting part of the tree. So, no, you cannot bury that. You want to plant your tree right up to that, and I call it looks like a knuckle on your tree. And then it usually has a little curve, and then the main part of the tree goes up. That is called the graft, and that's very important to keep that at dirt level. So you want to plant that, you know, you just kind of scoop your soil in around it softly and pat it around those roots, spreading those roots out completely in the hole, and then filling it with nice, good topsoil. I do not like to add a lot of soil amendment when I'm planting a bare root tree. They just don't need it. They need time to sit in the soil and just, you know, and grow. That's what they need. And definitely not, Grandpa always used to say, never put roots. Everybody always wants to put leaves in the hole and all kinds of compost and things, you know, that want to break down and cause gases in the soil. And no, we don't want anything in our bare root stock. If you're planting a container tree, that's a little more established. It can handle it, or a B&B. But anything with a bare root, you don't want to put any of that, any of those mulches or any leaves or any manures or anything like that. Definitely not chicken manure in the hole with a bare root stock. You want to keep it plain and give her time just to live. So then what we do is we fill the hole up with our nice soil that came out of the hole and right up to the base of the graft. Not any higher. Don't bury that graft. You will kill your tree. It's not good for it. So just right up to it, pat it down nice, and water thoroughly. And that's the most important thing, is you want to keep that plant watered, not soaked, but you want to keep it moist so that the roots want to go into the wet soil. See, roots will not go into dry soil. So if you're watering your tree just right around the base of that tree, those roots are going to stay right around the base of the tree. So a good deep water, unless you're in an area, for instance, the poor people that are flooding away, that I have an amazing amount of rainfall all the time, you need to be watering that tree just so that the soil around it continues to stay wet. So those little baby feeler roots that want to make that tree grow good are wanting to stretch into that wet soil because they will not go into dry soil. They will stretch into that wet soil. So keep that water deep and wide. That's what you want for your bare root trees. I always like to stake my bare root trees when I plant them and contain any of the shrubs or anything like that, because obviously they have no base, so they're kind of wobbly, and if you have any wind at all, you're going to end up with a crooked tree. So stake it up nicely for the first year until it gets very well established. But very easy to do, and again, do not add all that mulch and the manure and the go into the chicken coop and scoop all the goodies up and throw it in the hole. You'll cause gases and end up killing your tree. Just give it, you know, let her be simple for the first year and let her get established. Then you can start adding stuff on top anytime you want.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
That's an easy way to plant. Bare root stock is very, very easy to do. And asparagus, they've got those long, really wonky, funky. Have you ever boughten
yeah.
bare root asparagus to plant?
Yes.
It looks like
they're
these
really long
monsters that you're going, what is this? You think, oh, goodness, because all you do is see it in the store. You use this beautiful asparagus, or you see it at the farmer's markets. But the roots on those babies are 2 feet long, depending on the size, you know, the age. Say if it's a five-year-old crown, you're going to have maybe 18-inch long roots, and those
easily.
Are kind of fun to plant. Easily, yes. Yeah. So you mound, what I do when I plant my roots of those, you mound in the middle of your hole, and then you put your crown on top and let those roots flow over that top of that mound, then fill it in. But, yeah, those, they're kind of, they look like monsters. You never realize what bare root asparagus roots look like.
Let me ask you a question about asparagus, Arlene, if I can.
Yes.
What about transplanting asparagus? Say you've got an old bed or you want to give someone some starts. Do you have any tips on transplanting asparagus?
You can transplant asparagus very easily in the fall by actually digging it up and shaking the soil off. Basically, you're going to be bare rooting it. But that will be done in the fall when they completely go dormant, or early spring, but then you're going to give up any kind of fruiting possibilities for the season. Or if you want to do it just after it's produced, because you don't want to give it up before it did, you would dig it deep. Because, like we just talked about, those roots are very, very long. So that's what you want to do to give it the best possible life it's going to have, you know, of going on. You want to dig it deep and give it lots of root underneath. So they're not real wide. They go straight down. So if you say you have a big bed of it and you want to give somebody 5 or 6 shovelfuls, just dig deep. Give it lots of soil down below. That ensures that you're going to catch a lot of those deep roots.
How deep is deep?
Deep is deep. I would go, if I were to dig asparagus, I would dig probably about 18 inches down and then come straight up. And then give them a nice big scoop. And if it's during, like for instance now, our asparagus is just starting to crown up, to transplant it now would be very, very simple. If it's midsummer and somebody came over and wants some and it's gone to seed on you, which is great for the younger stalks, you have to let them go to seed, then I would just dig them and keep those roots intact so that they can get them in the soil so that they want to grab hold and make new roots before they go dormant in the fall.
I used a backhoe one time to dig up some asparagus, and the ball was massive, and the roots were just, I mean, that's why they, I guess, can hold banks so well, because the roots were so massive. But that backhoe, that was I was surprised. I was stunned at how massive the root mass was.
You're one of those that uses a chainsaw for trimming, too, huh?
I'm intimidated by chainsaw. That's a man tool.
Backhoe to dig asparagus. This
but I'm good with a backhoe.
Serious.
I'm a man
gonna
hole.
Dig
I can
me
just dig
some.
Anything. You want to trench, no problem.
We're digging asparagus today, so we're going to use the backhoe. I use a shovel. That's what I use, or a spade. That's what I use.
Yeah, small bucket. It wasn't a really big bucket.
You go right ahead. You dig away. You go right ahead, dear.
Oh, thanks. Okay.
Something
empowering about being able to dig a hole with a backhoe.
You go right ahead, Ike. I'm with you.
Okay. Well, come visit,
but
then
anyway,
you can use a backhoe, too.
I can use a backhoe. I am
backhoe
definitely known to use a backhoe. Yep. Oh,
do the trench gardening a lot easier with a backhoe. Yeah.
There you
anyway.
Go. Sure.
Yeah.
Anyway.
double dig, you just double hoe.
Right.
Hoe-dee-hoe.
Yeah. So So what do you plant if you buy anything bare root? Have you bought anything bare root and planted it?
We just planted actually 12 fruit trees that were ended up being bare root. They were small. They were 12 to 18 inches tall, but we planted 12 fruit trees. I think we planted apple, pear, plum, and peach.
Wow.
And they ended up all being bare root. So, but that reminds me, let me ask you a question about this. I'll start, and then we got to go because we got chicken trivia. Our peach trees, and again, they're about 12 to 18 inches tall. They were bare root. We planted them up until this last couple of weeks. We've had plenty of rain, and they all, leaved out really, really nicely. All of them were doing well. But our peach trees, all of a sudden, looked like on the end of the leaves, they were turning black, looked like someone had took a lighter to them. All around the outside edges of the new growth leaves. The leaves themselves weren't wilting, but all around the outside were like looked like they had been singed.
What did you put in the hole when you planted them?
Nothing.
Okay, good job. I thought he was going to say, well, I'll clean out the chicken coop.
Nothing.
How about the area that you planted those in? Was there originally a barnyard there? Was there anything? Usually when I am asked a question about the foliage and the burn around the edge, that has to do with some kind of chemical burn or something in the water that they're not liking. Because the leaves of our plant are kind of like our leaves of a plant or a tree are like our lungs. So anything or our kidneys kind of things, it filters. And it ends up with all the junk that comes from the roots up through the stalk of the tree and then ends up in the leaves, kind of. You know, they're kind of like the teller of the story. You can look at a leaf and tell her whether she's lacking water because she's a little bit limp and soft, or whether it had too much fertilizer because it'll burn around the edge, or whether your water has something in it that it doesn't like because, again, it will turn color. Or it will burn around the edge, or if it's lacking the tree, the soil is lacking in something. For instance, if it turns yellow with green veins, usually you're lacking in iron. So the leaves tell us lots of things about our plant. And if you were to ask me that, I would say there was something in the soil that it wasn't liking. And a good thing, the only good thing is they didn't fall off, or they didn't just dry up and cringe up. They hang there, which means the plant is still trying to survive, and that's the good part. The bad of it is there's something it's not liking there, either that you planted it in an old barnyard or something in the water that it's not liking, or that it's just, they're just struggling. They struggled at one time, and the leaves were trying to die, because a tree will actually kick off its leaves to survive. If there's a drought, a tree will shed its leaves in the summertime to survive, to keep that plant alive, so it doesn't have to keep all those leaves alive. It will shed some things. So I don't know. Was there something in that soil, you think?
I don't know. Nothing's been on that particular soil for probably, 100 years. So it's just, I have no idea. And the only thing they get is rain. We haven't watered at all on purpose. So I don't know. I'll follow it. We hadn't been down there in 2 weeks, so this weekend when we go down to the farm, we'll take a little look at it and see what they look like now. They may be all dried up, just sticks, and I'll pull them out and start over.
But you don't want to do that either. You don't want to do that either. You want to. Sometimes those leaves, were they already leafed out, or were they bare, completely bare?
They were completely bare all the way up the top, and then we saw little buds come out, and then they started leafing out. And then, just leaves basically on the one stalk. None of them had any type of limbs. They were just one stalk, 12 inches tall. And, that was it. And so, but we'll see. I'll let you know in 2 weeks when you come back.
Let me know, yes.
We'll do that. Well, thank you very much for joining us today. As always, a pleasure to have you on, Arlena. And always great topics, and we always love to learn about gardening here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Roast. Tell us really quick how people can continue to follow you and learn more about you and your videos and your TV show during the week.
Wonderful. You can log on to my website, which is it's GardenWise. That's GardenWise Living, GardenWiseLiving.com. And there is a page on there that is actually dedicated to bare root planting and bare root trees. And then also I have Facebook. I have Arlena Schott is my Facebook page, or GardenWise Living on Facebook. On Twitter, I am Green Blessings. That's at Green Blessings. So I'd just love to hear from y'all, and I'm very thankful for being on today. It's been fun. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Really fun. Thank you very much. And it's always a pleasure to have you on, and we will see you in a couple of weeks, another episode of Garden Wise Living with Arlena. Thank you very much for sharing your knowledge with us. All righty, it is now time for chicken trivia, and I feel a little crazy today, so I'm going to have Pat. The trivia question is going to be one of Pat's jokes. I know she's got – you don't have to look
it
up. You just – you have – no, you have it. But
sure. I'm driving. You are so funny. That's the joke right there. Joke on demand. Let's see.
The prize today you're playing for is a nesting box from our good friends at Ware Manufacturing. You probably have some of their products already if you have little critters around the house. If not, you'll see them in all just about every farm and garden store, every pet store, mall store. You'll see Ware Manufacturing products. You probably have a product there in your house from Ware if you didn't already know it. But you can visit them online at Ware Manufacturing. It's Ware, MFGINC. .com, and you can visit them on Ware Manufacturing today, a nesting box, and you can find a lot of their products actually at another sponsor, critter-cages.com. critter-cages.com. They have no problems me sharing their sites with you because one is helps the other. So all right, and if you don't, I can come up with something, Pat. What do you think?
I got it.
Okay,
we're going to
take caller number nine, if you know the answer or the punchline to the following joke from our good friend co-host, Pat. Go ahead, Pat, lay it on us.
Okay, you'll have to type it in the chat room for me since I'm not at my computer, but what do chickens traditionally, it's a long time poultry tradition, what do chickens traditionally serve at birthday parties? What do chickens serve at birthday parties? It's an ancient poultry tradition. There you have it.
Well, I got it typed in there, and lo and behold, I did not type the answer. So a little bit different today.
I know you love it when I do that.
Didn't type in the answer. Caller number 9-347-637-3237. 347-637-3237. Give us a call. Call number 9 if you know the answer to that. And
what do chickens traditionally serve at their birthday parties? It's an ancient poultry tradition.
Kara wants to know if she's caller number 9. Let me get over here to the switchboard. And 347-637-3237. You got to call in. Caller number 9. I don't know your number, Kara, so I'm not sure if you're caller number 9 or caller number 19 or caller number 3. But we've got about 2 minutes left. So if you want to try to win this awesome nesting box, then come on. 347-637-3237. Very cool. And lots of good things. I've got a little comment on our Facebook page. I just discovered the radio show today and told all my fellow chicken friends about it. Love it. Thank you very much. Jennifer Lambert. Yeah, Jennifer Lambert. Maybe she's listening live right now. I want to say thank you very much for your nice comments and continue to spread the chicken love. I also posted a Chickens in the News called Mummifying Chickens for Fun and Educational Profit. Yeah, no kidding. It's on my Facebook page, facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer, and it's Mummifying Chickens for Fun and Educational Profit. You can just read that article and see and see what that's all about.
The Egyptians mummify chickens? They had them. Do you think they're mummied cats? Are there any mummied chickens?
Right now. It's on our webpage. So, all right, here we go. We're going, hey, call number 9 just popped into the slot. We're going to the phone lines right now.
Uh-oh.
Caller calling in from area code 609-609. You're on the air. Andy and Pat, state your name and tell us where you're calling from, please.
Hi, Andy. It's Dragonfire from South Jersey.
Great Dragon.
South Jersey. All righty. Yous guys are really lucky up there. Yous guys.
Yeah,
okay,
us guys are doing real good up here.
so glad to hear your voice. Hey, we got less than 80 seconds. What do you think the answer is?
Cupcakes.
Yes. Yes, cupcakes. That's what chickens traditionally have for birthday parties, is coop cakes. Don't you love it?
Coop cakes. Wonderful. Shaking my head again, but you got to love it. So spur of the moment, chicken trivia right here on a Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We got 45 seconds left, so tune in tomorrow. Another great episode and a Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Continue to follow us on Facebook. And remember, I'll put on Facebook what radio show I'm going to be on this afternoon, and maybe you can tune in. Pat, take it away. 30 seconds.
Okay, great. Well, thanks to Arlena Stott for the Garden Wise Living. That was just wonderful about bare root. Bare-rooted trees and balls and all that sort of thing. Thank you, Arlena. Of course, Andy Schneider, thanks to you for bringing us all together. Where would we be without your poultry love? And thanks to our chat room chickeneers and all our listeners for clucking along and appreciating these third-grade chicken jokes. We love it when you appreciate these chicken jokes. Blessings to all. We love you all so much. And may the flock be with you evermore. God bless everybody.